There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday, and 2 hours of live local talk heading your way. Yeah, right here during the middle of your day. And plenty of more information that's just happened this morning since we concluded Mobile Mornings, and we'll get it to you coming up in the next 2 hours. Plus interviews. Andy Andrews joins us in hour number two of the show. We'll be checking in with him. And also later on this hour, Renee Phillips from the Mobile County Public School System. So how does this all work with Mobile County Public Schools out for 15 days? The first swath here is 15 days. It could be assessed. It could be longer after that. What are the kids supposed to be doing? How much schoolwork? Do they have schoolwork? I'm going to ask all those questions of Renee when she joins us here at around 12:35. She'll join us. And some of the new information since this morning, there is the presser, which I guess is now a daily thing coming from the Alabama Department of Public Health, which is probably a good thing during this period of time. The ADPH has now confirmed 36 coronavirus cases in the state of Alabama. And they said the breakdown is this way. Baldwin County, one case. Elmore County, two cases. Lee County, one case. Jefferson County, so Birmingham, 20 cases. Limestone, one case. Madison, one case. Montgomery, two cases. Shelby County, four cases. St. Clair County, one case. Three cases in Tuscaloosa County for a total of 36. As of now, state has confirmed 36 cases. 20 of those cases are in Jefferson County. ADPH issued the following guidelines for Tuscaloosa, Blount, Shelby, St. Clair, and Walker counties. Once again, gatherings of 25 or more, or gatherings where the 6 feet of social distancing rule cannot be enforced, are prohibited. Restaurants must not prohibit visitors from eating on site until March 23rd. ADPH will be reevaluating. So restaurants must not prohibit visitors from eating on site. So that's, while we've seen some restaurants pushing that, at least that's what it's saying here. How do you, I mean, if the restaurant wants to choose to do that, why would, I don't know how ADPH has province over that, but we'll come back, we'll circle back around. Daycare centers and preschools with 12 or more children must close. Now, once again, this is Tuscaloosa, Blount, Shelby, St. Clair, and Walker counties, but it's probably coming to a county near you pretty soon. Daycare centers and preschools with 12 or more children must close. An exemption was granted to hospitals with on-site daycare facilities, and senior citizen living facilities must prohibit all visitors, must also ensure that all residents are fed and have the option for curbside food delivery. All private schools at all grade levels must close. All the above provisions take effect by the evening of tomorrow. So tomorrow evening, and are in effect until April 6th. ADPH will be reevaluating. So there you go. There's the latest from that presser. The governor said more of kind of what we just said there, just in a different way. So that's the lay of the land right now on that front. Now, a lot more to get to here. First of all, look at the markets. Look at the markets. I mean, it's, now, they got a long way to come back. A long way to come back, but at least there's green on the screen right now. Maybe St. Patrick's Day, right? With it being St. Patrick's Day, got some green on the markets, at least for right now. Some of the things that might be driving the market are things President Trump said in a presser that I don't know how long it was, but it seems like it went on all morning, like a couple of hours. It's what it seemed like. It's probably an hour and a half of a press conference from President Trump and Mnuchin and Fauci and the whole lot of them. And we'll get a couple clips from that coming up in just a second. But in that, some announcements here on big tax news with April 15th coming up. What about paying your taxes? What about filing your taxes? They got into that, and we'll get some of those clips coming your way in just a second. Also, what does the market think about this idea? Now it's bipartisan discussion of monthly cash payments to Americans during the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Senator Cotton has said this, and he's got backing also from some Democrats out there. He wants to give monthly checks to low-income and middle-class Americans so they can afford the necessities during the coronavirus outbreak. President Trump talks about that in this pressure we'll get to in a second, and he is saying he wants these things to happen now. There's suggestions here about, like a tax rebate. Remember, we talked about this morning that the money could come in the form of a tax rebate. And I even said the same thing Cotton and others are saying. I think most of us say that. It's too complicated and takes too long for those that really need the money. They need the money now for, you know, for food and rent and house notes and all that kind of stuff. They need that money now. So how's the federal government going to move the Leviathan that is the bureaucracy in Washington to get it turned around that fast and do it? Well, we'll get some of those clips coming up in just a second. Also, you call this paid sick leave. Is this going to be different? Because remember, we talked about paid sick leave earlier. If you were actually sick, if you're actually sick with coronavirus or some other virus and you can't go to work, what about having government payment there? The question would be, would this be also on top of that? Right, that you would get in this situation if you're displaced from your job, not because you're sick, but because the company shut down or you work in, a bar or restaurant. You can't do that. Should you get money, and how much money, and should the money go to everybody? That's one of the problems they're having is, you can send it to everybody, but if you're only going to send it to those in need, how do you define that? Where do you put that line and that benchmark? So important stuff, and we'll get to that press conference in just a second, play you some clips out of it when we return. And before we do that, though, I want to do this. Happened at Mobile City Council meeting today. We said it was just a matter of time, and it looks like it has happened now, as the city of Mobile now has declared a state of emergency. Play a little clip here from what happened earlier this morning at the Mobile City Council. Mayor Stimson addressing the council, and let's go ahead and roll that.
A couple of things. Obviously, there's one major subject that everybody's thinking about, that, and that's the coronavirus. Just so that you know, and I think you probably realize this, but there's somebody, the gentleman sitting at this table right here, plus probably 30 other senior staff level. We're talking to other cities, department heads. We're talking to the hospitals. We're in communication to the highest degree that we know how to. We're trying to evolve into how do we do social distancing in our meetings, whether it's teleconferencing or video conferencing. This is evolving, and I've really been amazed at the progress that's been made in such a short period of time, because we all know that the social distancing and the hand washing are really crucial. I think I'm going to ask George Talbot to maybe tweet out how many times a day the mayor's washing his hands, and that's not so that you interested in how many times I'm washing my hands, but maybe you'll start thinking about washing yours too. And I think as a society, those are the little things that we can do to help keep everybody safe. But in the last 24 hours, I've talked to every head of every hospital in Mobile. I've talked to the former Surgeon General last night. We're downloading and getting plenty of advice on things that we should consider doing. When you have situations like this, rumors are rampant. Somebody hears something and they repeat it, and there's no validity at all to that. And so I would encourage us during this time of the situation that we're currently dealing with, be very, very thoughtful about saying everybody is doing this. You really don't know if everybody is doing this or not. And so be measured in your comments, and especially what you're texting and tweeting and what you're passing on. What I'm getting ready to tell you, I can tell you firsthand that everybody is not shutting down all their bars and restaurants in the state of Alabama. The governor is probably on the cusp, actually she's issued a press release saying that in the area surrounding Jefferson County, they're going to be five other counties. It'll be Tuscaloosa, Walker, Blount, St. Clair, and Shelby counties, where they will follow the same protocols in those counties that Jefferson mandated yesterday, and that is they're going to close the restaurants and bars for a period of 7 days. But of those, let's of those counties, of the 10 largest cities in the state of Alabama, three of them lie within that ring around within those counties. Those would be Tuscaloosa's in that group, Hoover's in that group, and Birmingham is in that group. So I've been in touch with the mayors, the other seven mayors, and of those seven, six of us were on a conference call. None of them, that would include Auburn, Decatur, Huntsville, Madison, Mobile, and Montgomery. None of us are wanting to close down and have the governor close down our bars and restaurants at this point in time, because we see what the restaurant owners and the bar owners are doing. We may get to there, but at this point in time, we know that these individuals that are working, these hospitality workers, are living week to week or every 2 weeks. So I don't say that Mobile is the only place there where the mayor is saying, please don't, you know, shut everything down. I will be, after this meeting, I'll call Mark Saliba and Dothan to find out where he stands on this. We are requesting of the governor, on a slightly different note, is that these meetings, we would like to be able to video conference a city councilor in, and right now we aren't allowed to do that by law, and we think the governor is the only one that can change the Open Meetings Act to maybe do that. So by us collaborating as mayors, we are trying to make sure that the wheels of city governments will continue to operate in the smoothest fashion possible. So we have got to be given some leeway to do some things that we heretofore not been able to do. In that regard, you will see that, and you know that thus far the mayor has not declared, I have not declared a state of emergency in the city of Mobile. And the reason I haven't is because I don't have the authority under our state of emergency statute or ordinance to do that. It was a little bit surprising that we didn't, but what we found out was that the only state of emergency I can declare has to do with a situation where natural disaster and civil unrest. So in the last 24 hours, we've been working with the city council attorney, and we've presented a resolution to address the coronavirus preparedness, and there's been discussion in the pre-council meeting, and what it amounts to is that the mayor will request of the city council that they declare a local public health emergency. And by doing that, then it enables the mayor to do things that you probably perceive that other cities are doing. So this is something that we've worked on jointly. I think that they will pass that. And so keep in mind that our objective is to keep you safe, but also to keep the wheels of government rolling. So thank you very much.
60-225, resolution to address coronavirus preparedness.
So moved.
Second.
Been properly moved and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
In opposed? Passes.
There we go. And the vote, it passes. Ed Mobile joins the declared states of emergency municipalities in a state that's under state of emergency, in a country that's under a state of emergency with coronavirus. All right, coming right back, we'll play some clips from the president's pretty darn big press conference. And what about taxes? What about checks to the citizens? We'll get all that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, Skip, I appreciate the text. Pretty tough news. Alabama ABC stores closing after today. After yesterday, the stores were open, like I pointed out on Twitter last night. I have no problem with people getting booze, so it might be in line with you. But I do have a long-ranging battle against the state being in the liquor business. That's a whole other show for a whole other time. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. So you heard comments there from Mayor Sandy Stimson, and you heard the vote from the Mobile City Council. You know, I don't know what it all... lots of text here. I don't know. Tim says, with the city of Mobile under a state of emergency, has anyone heard of them planning on starting curfews? I haven't heard that. but I don't... You know, we talked to Gordon Deal this morning, and he's up in New Jersey. He hosts the show that comes on before the morning show, This Morning with Gordon Deal. He's out of New Jersey studios, but national show. But they've got curfew up there from 8 in the evening to 5 a.m. I have not heard, Tim, I've heard nothing like that here. You know, if news like that comes out, we'll pass along. Let's see. Dan is asking about the mayor not declaring the state of emergency and using the city council to vote, but it looks like that's, I mean, the mayor explains in that clip that that's kind of the rules set up. You know, it's like so many times we have to figure out what the rules are all at the same time. The members of government and we the people have to figure them out at the same time. Oh, yeah, and Eric, I don't get it. Eric is asking the same question I asked this morning at Dalton. With City of Orange Beach offering child care because schools are closed, doesn't that defeat the purpose of closing the schools in the first place? I thought the same thing, Eric, but I don't have an answer for that. Let me run through before, because we're going to get in the second half of this hour, we're going to have a conversation with Renee Phillips from the Mobile County Public School System and talk about what's going on as your kids are home. You know, it's probably going to be unpopular, but, you know, if they tell you, no, we don't have any homework, no, we don't have to do this or that, I'm going to get the actual facts here from the Mobile County Public School System. We'll do that coming up after 12:35. But a couple clips here from the presser that ended just about a half hour ago that went on for about an hour and a half. I have random flags on my audio here, so we're going to go to different places where I flag the audio, so y'all just stick with me on this. Let's go to pick up this piece, right?
They're showing up and standing up to provide us with the goods and services we need. So we want people to stay home where they can, but in many cases, when you talk about food service and manufacturing certain items in particular, they're going in and they're practicing all of the safety rules and regulations that we talk about. So with that, I'd like to just introduce our great Vice President, Mike Pence. He'll say a few words and then I'll make some other introductions. Thank you very much.
Obviously, I flagged this because it's
good morning.
Pence. Yeah.
It should be very clear to the American people that President Trump has initiated not only a whole-of-government approach, but a whole-of-America approach. And the president's interaction even today and through the course of this day with leaders in industry around the country reflects that we're not only bringing the full weight of the federal government to bear, but the full weight of the American economy. And I know I speak on behalf of the president when I say how inspired we are at the way the American people have stepped up and the way that American businesses, large and small, have stepped up. It's truly been inspiring. Our task force met this morning. We continue to focus on President Trump's priorities of testing, prevention, and supplies. And in that category, I'm pleased to report that while testing is available in all 50 states, as the president just indicated, through the...
All right, so obviously I was getting that clip of Pence. Listen, y'all, this is a very long press conference. I put flags in here on all the important pieces, but exact start times I do not have. Let's go here. I think this is Mnuchin talking now.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. So,
President
Steve Mnuchin, please.
All right, so here's Mnuchin. So here we go.
Thank you, Mr. President.
This is what y'all need
to
hear.
I'd like to announce some very significant actions that the president has approved today. The first I would say is earlier today, I sent a letter to Fed Chairman Powell approving his request to use 13-3. And what that will do is the Fed will be setting up a special purpose vehicle, which the Treasury will invest $10 billion in from one of our funds. That will enable the Fed to guarantee the purchase of A1, P1 commercial paper going forward. That is a $1 trillion market and is critical to American workers, critical to American business, and it's critical to American savers who have a lot of that money in money market funds. So we heard loud and clear there were liquidity issues. This is very significant and will create, I don't think we'll need to use it all, but we have the ability to have the Fed purchase up to $1 trillion of commercial paper as needed. That has already created significant stability in the market today. The second thing I would say is, you know, we've previously talked about deferring IRS payments. The president earlier this morning authorized me to announce this program. I have previously announced we would defer $200 billion. The president suggested we increase that to $300 billion, which we will be doing. Now, let me just be clear on the specifics. We encourage those Americans who can file their taxes to continue to file their taxes on April 15th, because for many Americans, you will get tax refunds. And we don't want you to lose out on those tax refunds. We want you to make sure you get them. Many people do this electronically, which is easy for them and easy for the IRS. If you owe a payment to the IRS, you can defer up to $1 million as an individual. And the reason why we're doing $1 million is that covers lots of pass-throughs and small businesses, and $10 million to corporations, interest-free and penalty-free for 90 days. All you have to do is file your taxes. You'll automatically not get charged interest and penalties. Now, of course, any American has the right to extend their taxes. We're not taking that a right, but the president has asked us to go up to $300 billion. That's also an enormous amount of liquidity in the system. The third thing is the president and I worked on a very significant economic stimulus plan. Thank you for being available last night and throughout this morning, and I will be presenting that to the Republicans in the Senate this morning.
Okay, so there you go. The tax thing that I had flagged there is being pretty darn important, and you get the feeling, right? So the economy is the man falling off the cliff, and the first person jumps up leans across and gives a handout, and they're slipping, and another person grabs, and another person grabs. They have as many hands as possible to the economy to try to pull it back up on this side of the cliff, and that's what's going on. Okay, we return. Renee Phillips joins us next on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. As we mentioned earlier, this is the portion. Now, kids, probably not going to like this, but I'm not here, like I tell mine, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be a parent. And in this case, I'm here to bring the truth about what's happening with the Mobile County Public School System into your home. So parents, listen up here, because it's a treat to have Renee Phillips in studio to talk about what's really happening when the kids are out for what it looks like 15 days or so, right? At least at first blush.
That's right. 2.5 weeks.
All right. But first of all, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
And you're communications director with the Mobile County Public School System. And the kids are in Mobile County, Baldwin County, heck, around the state, are out for 15 days. And they're let me ask the overarching thing. What are they supposed to be doing? What are they supposed to be doing while they're home? Because there's going to be kids coming home saying, because I saw it this morning on our text line, kids say, no, we're supposed to just goof off. And then another sibling said, no, Mom, we're supposed to be doing work.
That's right. We have work. Good news, parents, we have work. Okay. Not so good news, students, we have work.
Right.
So we're out for 2.5 weeks. One of those weeks is our spring break.
Okay.
So that is fortunate for us in the timing of this. But basically, that is 7 days of lost instruction that we're dealing with. And
okay.
So we don't want our kids to fall behind. So our teaching and learning and assessment crew worked all weekend. We have prepared these academic packets for all of our students to pick up. We are going to have...
trying to give parents here some help. Their students should have a packet.
That's right. So okay. If they came to school yesterday or today, they were given those packets. If not, we will have somebody at the school until Friday at 3 p.m. They can pick them up. It has, if they have access to internet, it has their password so they can log on to iReady for reading and math and to Nearpod.
What is it? So is this an online platform for teaching? Or
that's right. It's an online platform that we use. The very neat thing about it is that it's individual based. So it can track your progress. If you're ahead, it lets you stay ahead. If you need intervention, it provides intervention for you.
Cool.
So it's very interactive, and it will allow our teachers to keep up with the progress that all of our students are making while they're at home.
Okay, so the individual teacher is going to see some report on that, how that student did that day or whatever, that couple days?
That's right. So we're hoping they do it. It is encouraged. Okay. It is not required. But we have had a lot of parents have asked us, what can we do while we're at home? And so this provides a great resource for that. Now, if they do not have access to the internet, we have printable packets that we have at the schools where the students can actually do some reading and math work and write it old-fashioned, like on sheet paper, and turn it into their teacher when they get back.
But they will, if they hit certain benchmarks the same way as the online, it counts for those days of instruction?
We just know that they're getting some instruction.
Okay.
So how that will look on a report card, we don't know. But it's giving them what they would be learning and reviewing in the classroom so they don't fall behind.
Okay. And if you're just joining us, talking to Renee Phillips, she's with the Mobile County Public School System, and I'm trying to give y'all the information you need to know. Number one, your student should have a packet.
That's right.
Okay. You can, as a parent, fairly listening, you know, you're not talk parent talk here. You can say, y'all got a packet.
You got a packet.
Okay.
If you went to school yesterday or today, you got a packet. If you did not, you have until Friday at 3 p.m. to go to your school and pick up your packet. And if you're still not going to do that, we have set up a web page where you can go to get instructions to reach those online platforms or to print out the packets. And that is at mcpss.com/coronavirus.
Okay.
And we have also set up a hotline, and that phone number is 221-7777. That is just for technical support and password assistance. So if you pull up already and you don't know how to log on, first off, your student probably knows how to log on because they use this. And let's face it, my fifth grader is smarter than me.
Yeah.
But if not, you can call this number during the day and we'll help you log on.
All right. So this would be that parent that says, okay, you know, sitting down with our son or daughter, it's time to work on it. What's our username? What's our password? Okay, where do we enter that kind of information?
Right.
Okay. So it's technical support for this.
Right.
And that 221...
It's 221-7777.
Okay. We'll post this up, too, on our social media platforms. Plus, people can go to the Facebook page.
That's right. So we are trying to be very transparent. Our superintendent's been very proactive throughout this, and we're being transparent. So we have set up a web page that any parent, any member of the public can log onto at any point to get the most up-to-date information, and that is mcpss.com/coronavirus.
Okay.
You can also get to it from our front page. When we have news, we are emailing out to every parent.
Okay.
So if you're
refresh your email, parents.
Yes. And if you're not getting those, please contact your school or call that hotline number to make sure we have your current email address, because we've been telling our parents and our students everything first. And then beyond that, we're putting it on our Facebook page, and then we're staying in touch with the media.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Those are some specific questions. I know there's more to talk about in this, and we'll be talking over the next 15 days for sure. But what about, these are the what ifs, and I know this is not always your job here, but your communications director, we've known each other a long time, so let's talk about this. The what ifs. If seniors, okay, parents of seniors this year, are they going to, how do they graduate? Do you got to have people asking you these questions.
Oh, we've getting a lot of questions about graduations, proms, that sort of thing. So
yeah, I mean, if the kid, let's say the kid, let's hope maybe if you're going on to another school, maybe going to university, whatever, are they going to graduate? What do they tell the universities or the colleges?
Right.
How do you?
So we're in uncharted waters here.
Right.
Like, I've never seen the state close every public school in the state and across the country. We're doing this all over the place. So this is new to us. So the important thing to know is that this is happening all over the country. So colleges are going to know what's going on.
Right. That's
true. But the main thing is, you know, we're being proactive, but we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen. We are letting out of school tomorrow, and our plan right now is to return on Monday, April 6th, which is when we would have returned from spring break anyway.
Okay.
That was according to the governor's order. But if something happens, like,
yeah, let's talk about that. Because I'll say, I mean, what if we look here in the week preceding and it's the same, or it's, God forbid, worse, whatever it is, the situation where we're not sending people back to school, what do y'all do then?
Right. So that is why being proactive now is being very helpful. So we have teams of educators meeting around the clock. They were there all weekend, and they are coming up with contingency plans. So if we have to go beyond these 2.5 weeks, we will have academic lessons. We may have more packets for parents to pick up.
Okay.
We will still be utilizing these online resources. And in a couple of days, you're asking about the seniors, for example. We're going to communicate more information over the next couple of days to give them a specific online platform, because we want to to make sure they're on track for graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are certain requirements that the state has that you have to complete to graduate. And so we just encourage people to stay tuned. We don't want to do anything to stop you from graduating. Now, we are still planning right now to have our graduation ceremonies because that's a question that we've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be at the mercy of whatever happens because those are usually the second week in May.
And those are some, you know, some big graduation ceremonies.
They are. They mm-hmm. are. And parents want to see their child graduate.
Sure.
And we still want that opportunity to walk across the stage. So we are still planning on having those. But if we don't right. have a crystal ball, so we'll,
no,
we'll
and
take
I think
it a
that's
day at a time.
And it's good to hear you say that. It's good for listeners to hear you say that because it's just real stuff. Real stuff is that y'all can plan all you want, but with something that you don't know the duration or span mm-hmm. of. But y'all are obviously thinking about it. We're probably thinking about it before any of us parents even right. thinking about it. And so once more information comes available, I'm sure you're going to be an avalanche of information coming out to say, here's what we're going to do.
That's right. And just that's what we're saying is stay tuned, because I just cannot say enough about the team that we have in place, about the superintendent and his leadership. If you have that question, he's already thought about it, and he has a team working on it. And so we are working nonstop because, like you said, we want those seniors to meet those requirements. We want them to graduate, mm-hmm. and we want them to be able to go to college or enter the workforce, whatever they're going to do. Same thing applies for our elementary and middle school students.
Right. Well, what about all the other grades? Yeah, I mean, do they, you know, move up from third to fourth, or from seventh to eighth, or from ninth to tenth?
Right. That's when it's important to pay attention and keep doing those iReady assignments, those Nearpod assignments, and we'll just be in constant communication with our parents throughout whatever changes happen.
Renee, is there a day on the calendar that's the switch of the school year? You know, we know the calendar year, we know the fiscal year. Is there a day when it becomes end of the 2020? You know, the 1920 school year and the 2021 school year. Is there any handoff point in the summer where it's changed?
I don't really know that there is, and we okay. haven't had to deal with this. We've had hurricanes
right.
and all of that,
new. Right.
and when
I know.
We get those, we deal with that, and there's right. usually a start and an end and a recovery, and
sure.
we're fine. So technically, we end school at the end of May. If it had to turn into something, you know, we don't know, June,
okay.
July?
Yeah, I'm asking the questions I know, and you don't know them. I just wonder, like, so if they're, you know, they if they're doing extra, they come back late and they're doing stuff, is that the end of the 2020? Is that the start of the 2020-2021 school year?
So one important thing to note about that, for example, the governor has declared a state of emergency, and so when that takes place, we do not have to make up days. So when she declared the state of emergency on Friday and ordered that schools be closed for these 2.5 weeks, we do not have to make up those dates.
Is that the same as the certain number of days that you would talk about that the kids need to be in school, right? It's 17, how many is 100?
Right, so school systems vary. They have okay. between 175 to 180 days of school.
But it's a requirement? Or
there's some flexibility built into that. There's been various laws that have been passed. I remember this from being an education reporter for a long time. But essentially, though, a lot of that may go out the window when that state of emergency is declared. And so, so that's where we're at right now with the current days lost. If we have to go beyond April 6th, that's a conversation that superintendents are going to have with the state superintendent and with the governor to figure out where do we go from here.
Yeah, I want people to have through this process, y'all, and it's good to have Renee come in and just talk to us in person on this. This is coming from me, is have some, have some patience with this, because not even during wartime have we had all schools in this nation.
Not in my lifetime,
that, yeah,
not in yours.
No.
I don't know when this has happened.
So, I mean, it's not like you can go, oh, yeah, let's pull, what did we do in 94? I mean, this doesn't exist. So y'all are kind of going, you know, one day at a time, to be cliched mm-hmm. here. But I'm sure the benefit is you got school systems, like you said, around the country that everybody's, there's some communication going on to see how they're fixing this problem or that problem elsewhere.
Definitely. We are in constant contact with other superintendents, with the state superintendent. For example, I'm in contact with other public relations people throughout the country. So, what are you doing? How are you communicating this? That sort of thing. But like I said, if there's a question that you have, we've probably thought of it, and we have a team of people working on the details about it. And that's one thing I do appreciate about the superintendent and about our administrators, is they are good about coming up with plans and enacting them on the fly.
All right, good. Can you hold on a second? We go to the news break. Coming right back, and we'll talk a little bit more about the unknowns of what we're facing now with the states of emergency, with the coronavirus, and what it means for our kids in school.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Remember, online at FMTalk1065.com and podcast of this show and the 40, I think we're at 44 hours a week of live local programming that comes from this studio, waiting for you on the podcast tab over at FMTalk1065.com. Or if you subscribe, iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or Deezer or listen, there's so many. If there's a podcast platform, we're probably on there waiting for you. And the nice thing is, too, like the conversation we're having right now with Renee Phillips from the Mobile County Public School System, Communications Director. This is the kind of stuff that you may want to share in podcast form with other folks that you know that are parents of kids in Mobile County Public Schools. It's a resource. If they say, well, Johnny or Jane told me they don't have packets, you can refer to this podcast. And Renee, they do have packets.
We do have packets. There is homework, students. We do have homework for you.
Okay. See, there's truth. I get you a little closer to that mic. So, once again, parents, you heard it right here. There is homework.
Yes. If you are a student in Mobile County Public Schools, you will have homework over our break.
See, there are so many children so mad at me right now, but I don't care because I'm trying to help out the parents in this. And we talked about what's happening for the next 15 days and then reassessing after the 15 days. But let's also talk about the other front here. So many students are dependent on school lunches through the Mobile County Public School System. If they're not coming in, how y'all doing this?
And that's one thing we have to consider when we close schools is factors such as that. We have many, many students who depend on the schools for their breakfast and their lunches. Because in Mobile County, because of the poverty rate in the county, we have a federal grant where we provide breakfast and lunch to all students free of charge. And so one of our concerns is how will these children eat if there is no school? And so we have a...
That's a tough question. It's a tough thing for people, but people need to hear about that situation.
Yeah. Just let it sink in. We have about 5,000 kids in Mobile County classified as homeless.
5,000?
5,000, mm-hmm.
And homeless means truly what we all picture homeless or staying at somebody else's house?
It's a variation. It can mean that you do not have a home. It can mean that you're living in a hotel. It can mean that you're going from one family member to another family member.
Okay,
so there's lots of that fall under that window.
5,000?
Yes, more than 5,000.
Wow. And with the school breakfast and lunches, That's something that is, you said the feds do that. They come in and determine the number of people eligible, or does the county system provide the feds? How does that work? Do you know?
So based on the population and the number of people in Mobile County that already qualify for federal assistance, such as food stamps and that sort of thing, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but whatever that was, we qualified for the free breakfasts and lunches.
Okay.
We have to reapply for the grant every year, but it has been one of the best things that we've done as a school system, I think, is that we are feeding these children because for a lot of them, it's the best meal they get.
Sure. I've saw it from the inside out. My wife, a retired Mobile County public school teacher, and you told me the stories, how important it was here. So what are y'all doing to if the kids aren't coming to school, how are they getting breakfast and lunch?
Right. So the good news is we have received a waiver from the federal government where we are going to be able to do a feeding program. It's going to be similar to the summer feeding program that we do. We will have more information by the end of today, hopefully, about which specific sites we're going to be serving at and the times and that sort of thing. It will start on Thursday.
Okay.
And so we're getting busy right now ordering all the appropriate food.
Is this, I know you can't say, but is this going to be like specific location come there, or is it just you can generally let us know how you...
I don't know. The details, they are still working that out.
Okay.
But for example, when we do our summer feeding program, we have a combination of where we have certain cafeterias in certain parts of town. We try to spread it out.
Right now with all the situation as it stands now and going forward with saying, well, you can't have a place where there's, you know, you have to have 6 feet of separation, or maybe places will be like in other states. They're just saying, no, go inside.
It may be a grab and go.
Yeah.
We also do have some buses that we can utilize if we need to.
You've got a couple buses.
Mm-hmm.
How many? Like
we got 700 buses.
Yeah.
But in particular, we...
Yeah, y'all got buses.
Yeah, we do. So a few years ago, we converted a couple of our buses into Superfood Expresses is what we call them. And so we can go out into communities. We have warmers and coolers, and we can go out and...
Y'all got your food truck?
We do.
Y'all got food trucks. And so if somebody, they'll know the families that, you know, that are doing this right now. Are they going to get an email? Do they need to check with y'all? How do they find this out?
So with all the information about coronavirus, same thing applies here. We will email it out to all of our parents. We have a program where I can shoot out an email to 60,000 people in a matter of minutes. So Yes, we can. I can send an email to 60,000 people, all students, all parents, all employees.
Don't ever like sit on the wrong key on your phone or something like that and send out a
email. No, I have to be very careful about who I was.
Okay.
But and so once we send that out, or once we have the sites, because we are CNP, it's our child nutrition program.
Okay.
They are working really hard right now on picking out those sites and ordering the food and getting everything ready for Thursday. So as soon as they finalize those sites, we will send out an email to all our parents. We will put it on our Mobile County Public Schools Facebook page, and we have also set up a web page with all things MCPSS and coronavirus, and that address is mcpss.com/coronavirus.
Okay, so that's the clearinghouse. And remind folks too, as the they're trying to do the online, and if they have questions about that, y'all have, if your username, password, all that kind of stuff, there's a phone number we can call for more info there.
That's right. We've got packets for kids. They can go online through iReady and Nearpod and do their work. It's encouraged, not required. But if they're having a hard time logging on, we
parents,
have
tell
up,
them it's required.
Yes, tell them it's required. That's what I've told mine.
Yes.
It's required.
Yes.
I have a third grader and a fifth grader.
I'm
they
with you.
Will be doing their
I'm
work.
I'm with you.
That's
I'm
right. And also, beyond that, read. Read 30 minutes every day. We did open up our libraries on yesterday and today, and we were encouraging students to take multiple books home.
Good deal. When more information comes in on this, you always just give us a holler, let us know.
That's right. And let me just say one more time, the hotline for only if you need technical assistance or you forgot your password to log on to that iReady, it is 221-7777.
All right. Thank you for your time. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Director of Communications for the Mobile County Public School System, Renee Phillips, our guest. We're coming right back. We'll grab your calls as well at 343-0106.